So eventually, a man named Stu Unger comes by. Now, you have seen Stu Unger. You would not remember him. Stu Unger is a three-time champion at the World Series of Poker.
Oh, I was thinking I've had his stew before. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's a great cook.
It's S-T-U.
Oh, okay.
His name is not S-T-E-W. Unger Stew. Right.
From the dawn of time, man has collected and shared stories. Many of those stories are inspirational. Some are haunting, and many of them are downright kooky. Welcome to Kooky Tales, a show where Rob and Susan discuss stories ranging from the supernatural to the downright bizarre and everything in between. Whether you prefer the dance macabre or doing the funky chicken, join us as we decide if these tales are spooky, full of dookie, or just downright kooky, here on Kooky Tales.
I taste the banana. Okay, this one's destined for the trash.
We'll put it in the other one. Or maybe put them both on a napkin.
Wow. That, you know, I spent some time where they drink a lot of vodka. That'll warm you up.
That's true. All right, we are back for another episode of Kooky Tales Podcast. We've had our warm-up shot. We have upgraded the microphone system.
Hello.
That's not helping.
Sorry.
That didn't hurt. So I know you like keeping numbers, tracks of, like you do our home finances. You track other finances. And so, but by the way, you don't have to like, actually, like, look into the microphone or whatever, but you can, I Why? Suppose, if you'd like to. But,
I don't mind.
But these are, so we've, if you're keeping track of finances on the show, on the left-hand side, and by the way, I actually took accounting in high school and got thrown out.
I know, we had this at Mrs. Dix.
Yeah, were you in that class?
I took accounting in hopes that I would be in your class because I knew you were the aide. You're the aide, and you got kicked out, right?
No, I was first. I was a student. So here's the thing: because I had done so poorly in advanced analytic geometry and trigonometry, advanced trigonometry, that basically they said, you know what, you don't even really need this to graduate. You just need to do something else.
Why?
Don't sit in there and flunk out of a class. So I didn't put on my kooky glasses.
It's okay. You can do it.
And so then it became, what are they going to do with me during sixth hour, right? And one thing they did was they put me in accounting class. But I went there like a month after everyone went.
Yeah, and so you didn't know what a debit or a credit was.
I didn't know anything. Yeah. I didn't understand anything about it. Yeah. And so, is that another one?
I think we should have a second one. That really warmed up my feet.
All right.
It's cold.
It is cold. I'm in my socks, and my socks are wet because I didn't know it was raining when I came out here. So.
Yeah, but that's going to be twofold.
Yeah. I know we had Snovim Gonim. That was a toast, but that's Happy New Year in Russian, right?
Right.
Do you know a Russian toast? That's the only one I know.
I don't know. Cheers.
This is a lot.
It's just a
Sunday.
It's two skeleton heads.
Down the hatch. The second one's more smooth than the first one.
It is. It's more for medical purposes because we're cold. That's medical. I do sometimes. I'll take a medical.
Medical vodka.
And you've had friends over whenever I had a cold or something.
Yeah.
And I'd walk in the house and I'd just be dragging my butt through, go grab the whiskey bottle and be like, take a shot. And I remember Jeff specifically watching me walk through carrying that bottle and then just take a giant shot. And he's just like,
there you go. That's
just my Irish grill.
Medical vodka.
Medical vodka.
So anyway, here's my story. I got put in this class. I didn't understand anything about accounting. I didn't know anything about it. And I made it for a month and a half, just not doing anything. And then they had a test. And by the way, our teacher's name was
Miss Dix.
Mrs. Dix, and I called her Mrs. Dick. whole time. And then she would say,
the nice people called her fish sticks.
And then she would correct me, and I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. And so she had a test, and I had no idea what to do. And so literally in the middle of the test, I said that I lost a contact lens. And everybody stopped the test, and she stopped everybody and made everybody get on the floor and start looking for a contact lens, which, by the way, I've never owned contact lenses. And she said, are you making this up? She said, if you're making this up, I'm going to send you to the office. And I said, I have colored contact lenses. Look at my eyes, because I have different colored eyes. One eye is brown, one eye is green. So I said, I lost the brown one. So look, my eyes, one's green. And she said, well, it must be. And so that was, and so she had everybody on their hands and knees. And I think it was, I want to say Sarah Hamner. I want to call out Sarah, one of our viewers.
So honest.
Who said, Mrs. Dix, he doesn't wear contact lenses. And then I went right to the office and I was kicked out of that class. And then they said they were going to make me an aide. And they said, what class? And I go, how about Mrs. Dix class? And they said, and that lasted about 12 minutes.
Poor Mrs. Dix.
She threw me out again. If Mrs. Dix is watching this, which there's no way she's alive. But she might be alive, but if she were watching this, I would say I'm very sorry. And also I would say I hate accounting still.
I love the class, and I have used that 1 year of accounting to manage $100 million budgets.
I can't manage the money in my wallet.
Yes, you're not allowed to.
Right. You know what? I can manage my Amazon wish list. So anyway, speaking of managing money, if you want to put this down. On the left-hand side, which is income of this podcast, is zero. Mm-hmm. That's how much we've made so far. Mm-hmm. On the expenditures right now, we have added about $250 for two microphones, two microphone arm stands, a mixing board, and some cables to run to those things. Plus, I mean, in theory, you could probably add... I mean, I had a couple webcams, but you could probably add some webcams and tripods, and now we've added light boxes. So we are in the hole, which is why, before we get started, I will say this. We're starting a Patreon.
Oh, woo! Yeah.
So you have, do you have a Patreon? That was terrible.
I do, for legs like mine.
I have a Patreon.
I'm terrible at it.
And I have a Patreon for all my other podcasts, and then I have a separate one for a completely separate, my van life project, Big Rob's Van. But we're going to do one for this, and then what we're going to do is after the show, Susan and I are going to hang out for another 15, 20 minutes and chat. We'll follow up on, you know, our thoughts on the episode and maybe topics that spin off this episode. So that will be a second video, and we'll be putting those on Patreon. So I guess there's three categories of people. People that are not interested in the show at all, which in case you've already stopped now. And then people that enjoy the show. And if you enjoy the show, we are so, so happy that you're watching us either on YouTube or listening to the audio version. But there's a third group of people that want a little bit more. They want to hear our thoughts on the episode and maybe topics that came up through the episode, and maybe an additional drawing or two. So for those people, there will be the Patreon, which, by the way, does not exist yet, but it will, hopefully by the time you watch this. So are you blessing us already with the...
I am. So this is kind of like another one of my famous collages, you know?
Okay.
All right. So let's see if I can get this in the right spot. All right. So up in the corner... Let's see.
See, look, I made enough room for the drawing and your face.
It's the light I'm worried about. Okay, so in the corner, we have a balance sheet. Zero on the income side.
That's right.
I just added 250 to the negative one. Okay, in this area, let me go to this side here. That's me with the new microphone. I tried to make it...
About to eat it.
I tried to make it not look phallic, and that's why it's like...
It failed.
Very... Very intentionally, like a big fat oval. This down here is the lovely Mrs. Dix. Do you remember she had that really, really curly gray hair? And then she always wore those glasses that transitioned to dark whenever she would go outside. And so for, I had her right after lunch. And so for about half of after lunch, I mean, this was in the 90s, so it was still new technology, right?
Right.
Her glasses would be dark. But whenever she walked, whenever she would start walking, she'd always kick off with one leg way high all the time.
That remember is that? True, yeah. She was a very nice lady.
And she's so nice.
If you made a list of things she didn't deserve in life, the first one would be me.
You.
All right. Well, we got to get started.
All right. Cheers to you, Mrs. Dixburg.
Cheers to you, Mrs. Dix. So what we're going to talk about today, now, what a lot of people, I mean, what nobody literally would know, is that you and I next week are headed to Las Vegas.
Booyah!
We're going to Las Vegas for a conference. For your stuff, it's an AI conference that you're working on some contracting stuff and maybe possibly implementing AI, you know, for some companies.
I just released a book about AI. I took a bunch of classes with MIT about AI, and I wrote a book for people.
You got 5 seconds.
And anyway, I'm dragging him to the conference, too. Like, you're going to go learn about generative AI as well.
Right, so, but I'm going to go have fun in Vegas.
Yeah.
Now, you and I go to casinos.
Love it.
And I would like you, in a very short amount of time, to talk about what you would call a winning run.
A winning run is whenever you double your money. In a nutshell, if you've doubled your money, you've done a good job. And if you've had that happen a few times in a row, then you're doing really great. And our rule is, if you double your money, it's time to stop.
If you double your money, it's time to stop. That's a good rule to have.
Yep.
So imagine if you were to Google the run, both of those words being capitalized. Capital the, capital run.
Okay.
There is a run that happened in Las Vegas that is known as the run. Proper noun. And when you Google the run, you will come up with a man's name, and that man's name is Archie Karras. And that is the tale I'm going to be talking to you about today. The tale of Archie Karras.
Is he Rain Man?
Archie Karras is not Rain Man. He's nothing like Rain Man. In fact, he is a Greek American. He was born in Greece in 1950. He did not get along with his father. He ran away at the age of 15. In fact, he was grew up in poverty, and according to him, he was so poor that he often played marbles to try to win money for lunch money. So he grew up gambling and betting. At the age of 15, he got a job on a some sort of ship as a waiter, making not very much money. But that ship ended up in Portland, Oregon, where he got off the ship and got a job as a waiter in Portland, Oregon. But next door to where he worked, well, no, not there. He was in Portland, and then somehow he ended up in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So he moved to Los Angeles, and he got a job as a waiter in a restaurant in Los Angeles. But next door to the restaurant in Los Angeles was also a pool hall. So apparently he got pretty good at playing pool there as well. But he has gambling in his blood, but he also has billiards in his blood, okay?
What was his name again?
His name is Archie Karras, K-A-R-A-S. Neither one of those are his real names. He has a very long and, for us, difficult to pronounce Grecian name, but that is that's the name that he goes by here in America.
Right. So it's not the same name as the guy in
you're going to say Archie Bunker.
Vegas Vacation, where the kid gets the fake ID.
Nick Degree?
Yeah, he goes, Nick Papa Giorgio, and they're like, do you need glasses? And he goes, no, I do not require them.
I do not require them, right. Well, the thing is, Giorgio. This guy in real life is often compared to Nick the Greek.
Oh, really?
Yes, because they're both Greek, and they're both high rollers.
Right, so let me just stop you here. So I have met a lot of Greek people in my international travels, and the Greek men who are always gamblers, they look like this. They always are balding at the top, and they've got like that little friar tuck haircut that's so cute. They always wear, well, when they're not at the beach, they wear button down shirts, their hairy chests hang out the top, and then they always have on a couple of gold necklaces, right? So this is what I imagine.
I just showed up in your shop, by the way. Right. Hello.
Yeah, they look just like you. He's probably got some gold necklaces.
That looks just like me.
Well, you poked your head in the thing.
Oh, I see.
Right. So anyway, that is Mr. Papa Giorgio.
Gotcha. I'm wearing a Run DMC shirt. I don't look anything. And that guy's bald.
They're always really, really hairy, which When you go to beach places, like international beach places, they mm-hmm. love to walk around in their Speedos. I don't know why. I know that's very stereotypical, but that's...
You're stereotypical. Every Grease person.
That too. Has been my experience in real life.
One stick
drawing. Speedos.
So, he got this job as a waiter in Los Angeles, uh-huh. but it's next to a pool hall.
Okay.
He started playing pool, and then he started making more money playing pool than he was making as a waiter.
Right.
Right. So that kind of becomes his income at first, right? Mm-hmm. Then he starts playing poker. He starts playing cards, and as he likes to say, he's won $1 million and lost $1 million a million times.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of his sayings, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if at this time in Los Angeles he had not won $1 million yet, right? But one of the things that he's famous for, and I have the exact quote later, I will tell you, but one of the things he says is that he doesn't really care about money.
He just likes the thrill.
He likes the gambling.
Yeah.
So he is a gambler, but he doesn't care about the money. And that makes him a very dangerous opponent because he doesn't care about losing money, which is right. he's not vested in the money, if that makes sense. He right. said in one of his quotes, he said, I have had enough money to own anything I ever wanted in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've lost it. So it, the money doesn't mean anything to him. It's for him, it's all about the thrill of the gambling, okay? So he made some money playing pool. He made some money gambling. This is in Los Angeles.
I didn't even know you could gamble in Los Angeles.
Oh, sure. But then he lost it all except for $50.
Oh, wow.
Now, by the way, I should just say in Los Angeles, he's a well-known person. I mean, in these circuits, right? As far as playing pool, as far as playing cash poker games, those sort of things. Like, people know who he is, mm-hmm. right? But you're right. You're not going to make the big money in Los Angeles. You got to go to Vegas. So he built up all this money playing pool, playing poker in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
and then lost it all except for $50.
So he has $50 to his name.
He has $50 to his name.
This is him playing poker with two unfortunate, very tiny opponents.
By the way, can I tell you one thing?
What?
He has a wonderful head of hair.
No.
Yes. And also, this story begins in 1992 when he is 42 years old.
Okay, well,
with a full head of hair.
I'm going to change that. So he's going to have that beautiful Greek curly hair then.
That's not curly. In fact, this is a picture of him, but obviously this is much later in life. But this is a picture of Archie Karras. So if you want to update your drawing.
That's harder hair.
It is a little bit harder to do. So,
and also, he looked very stressed in that picture. Jeez.
Probably so after you hear this story.
Oh, okay. Okay.
In 1992, Archie Karras gets in his car with $50 to his name, and he drives to Las Vegas. Okay?
I updated the picture for you. Can you zoom in on him?
I cannot. And you've added some hair.
Look at the stress look on his face.
You did made him.
He's like, oh my God.
More worried.
He's like, it also looks like he's holding a drink and not, it's supposed to be like an ace up his sleeve, but
yeah.
If he's sad, then he probably.
Interesting needs a drink. Prediction.
Okay. Ooh.
So this is the beginning of the run.
Okay.
And by the way, when I say the run, I mean capital T. Capital R. If you Google the run, this is what you get. Do you need me to move that away from you a little bit?
So, not like...
We're still struggling with microphone placement.
It's training Susan the monkey. Yeah. Not like I'm on Ozempic and I had to capitalize mine as...
That's a different the run.
Capital D, capital R.
Yeah, run. That's a different run.
Oh, okay.
Archie arrives at the Mirage in Las Vegas, which you and I have been to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
When he gets there... It says that he runs into an old poker buddy of his from Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and he talks him into backing him or loaning him $10,000. Mm-hmm. He has $50 to his name, but he's like, will you back me and give me $10,000? Which the guy does, okay? He immediately goes to a poker table, a poker table that is $5,000 a game, all right? Right. So, by the way, how much do we play? When you play blackjack, how much do you play?
I will pay the minimum bet. Like, when we go down to Vegas, I'm still going to be hunting for the $2 tables on Fremont Street. I know there is a casino, a single casino in the seedy part of Fremont Street that might have $2 tables.
Right. So, in a couple of days, he takes the $10,000, he turns it into $30,000.
Whoa.
Okay. So, he's at $30,000. You and I, we're done. Right?
We are, yeah.
Right. He takes that money. He gives the investor guy
$20,000. Wow.
So the guy loaned him $10,000. He gives him $20,000. Says, thank you very much.
Nobody's getting their hands chopped off. It's a great thing.
And he goes back.
Yeah.
But now he has $10,000 to play with, right?
Yeah.
So this is when he goes to the Mirage. No. So this is what he does. He takes that money, and he goes to a bar that happens to have a pool table. Okay. And he runs into a guy, which, by the way, to this day, he will not name the guy, because apparently the guy is a well-known billiards player and poker player, and he doesn't want to embarrass him.
Oh, so he is threatening his honor or something.
It's respect. You know what I mean? There's a lot of respect in poker players and this whole lifestyle. Right.
Huh.
But he goes next door to this bar, and it goes to this pool hall, right? And he starts playing pool, and this is where he starts playing pool for $5,000 a game.
Oh, my God.
Okay? And he's winning.
Oh.
But here's the thing. If you know anything about gambling and gamblers, the price per game keeps going up.
Well, yeah, it does. He's probably, like, tricking people at this point, like sharking them, right?
I mean, it's just one guy. He's just playing this one guy over and over, right? His bankroll goes from $10,000 to several hundred thousand dollars.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay? Now, this guy he's playing, and this is how gambling works, he wants his money back, right? He wants a chance to win his money back. So he says, let's raise the stakes on these pool games to $40,000 a game.
Oh, my God.
All right?
I'm so nervous.
So they keep playing.
Uh-huh.
By the time all is said and done, Archie has won $1.2 million.
And did this guy, he really had the money and stuff?
Yes, this is all cash and above. I mean, I say above the board, but these are cash games, right?
How? Do people really carry that much cash around?
Just wait.
All right, here they are playing pool.
That is actually one of your better drawings. And,
you get it.
Yeah, that looks like a billiards table.
Right.
Where they're playing pool with ants.
Dollar signs.
Okay.
Anyway.
So he wins $1.2 million off this guy, right? And so the guy is like, hey, you got to give me a chance to win my money back. We're going to go next door, and we're going to go play some poker. So where do they go? They go to the Binion's Horseshoe.
Oh.
Have you heard of the Binion's Horseshoe?
I know all about Binion's. Yes, I do.
Let's take a look at it. There it is on Fremont Street. Mm-hmm. We've been there many times.
That might be the $2 table. So.
We've been there. It's right on Fremont Street, right?
Yeah.
So they go, and I'm just going to call it the Horseshoe, but it is Binion's Horseshoe, right? Mm-hmm. Because, by the way, the owner of the Horseshoe will be in this story. So they go back, and they set up a table, and they're like, we want to play cash poker, just me and this guy, right? It says, by the time they're done playing poker, Archie has won another $3 million.
And could he leave if he wanted to at this
point? He could leave at any point in time. These are cash games. These are games where you meet someone else at a casino, you put up your cash, they put up their cash, the casino governs everything, right?
I'm sure they're making a little cut here.
I'm sure they probably make a little cut. But by the end of this, he has won. Now, it doesn't say he's won $3 million. It says he's won an additional $3
million. Holy
smokes. To the $1.2 million he won playing billiards.
Wow.
Okay, you with me so far?
Right. This is just like a little interim avatar. $3 million at Binion's Horseshoe. That's a horseshoe.
That is a horseshoe. I mean, that's not bad. I mean, it looks like it may have chicken pox, but
it's the little spot where the nails go in the horseshoe.
Oh, okay. All right, I got you.
Okay.
That's not bad. So now Archie Karras's new thing is he's just going to play poker at casinos.
Yeah.
He's going to play cash games, right? So he goes and sets up basically shop at the Horseshoe. He just sits at a spot and he's waiting for people to come play poker against him, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says within 3 months, he turned that $4 million into 7 million.
He needs to stop.
The moral of this story is he needs to stop, but he will not because, and we'll talk about this later, but what's the end goal? And there is no end goal. It's not like a movie where he goes, I need $2 million for an operation for my pa.
There's grandma's house.
There's no number he's going to stop at because it's not about the money. It's about the gambling. That's all he's interested in. He's only interested in the gambling. The money is just a number to him, right?
Wow.
So what he would do is he gets this reputation, obviously, as being a high roller, mm-hmm. right? He would go sit at the horseshoe. At this point, he would pile up $5 million in cash on the table in front of him and be like, bring it. Come play.
Does he have security at this point?
Not yet.
They're watching him?
Not yet.
That's unbelievable.
Right. He's just carrying this money around with him. By the way, I mean, he is living in hotels and in his car, more or less, right?
I'm guessing at this point he's getting comped everything, though, too, if he's been in that
company. I mean, right. How could he not?
Here's
right.
me. Sir, might I have a dollar?
In the Patreon thing later, we'll talk about everything that we've ever been comped.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So much.
We'll talk about
definitely
that later.
Definitely we're staying for
it. Right. So eventually, a man named Stu Unger comes by. Now, you have seen Stu Unger. You would not remember him. Stu Unger is a 3-time champion at the World Series of Poker.
Oh, I was thinking I've had his stew before. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's a great cook.
It's S-T-U.
Oh, okay.
His name is not S-T-E-W.
Unger Stu.
Right. Oh, okay. And he comes along. And by the way, he doesn't just come along by himself. He has his own financial backer, a guy named Lyle Berman, okay? Lyle Berman is also a professional poker player and the co-founder of Grand Casinos.
Oh, my Lord.
They're going to take this guy down,
mm-hmm.
right? And so they sign up for a cash game, just like a game, right? By the end of this, Archie has won another $500,000. And then they switch games. Now, a lot of the research I found talked about the different types of games that they played, whether it was 7-card stud. They played a lot of Raz, which you probably don't know.
No.
But what Raz is like the opposite of poker, where the lowest hand wins. Mm. So it's very opposite poker. So you want the worst hand possible. Mm,
the anti-poker.
Yeah, and then you could actually win with a low straight, because the ace is always a 1 in Raz. So you could win with an ace, 2, 3, 4, 5, which is the low straight versus a high straight. You know, so it's a little bit different.
Did you know this?
Yes. But the thing is, we used to play like trash poker and stuff like that when we were kids, like penny poker, and you play trash where you have to have the worst hand. So it's very similar to that. Mm. But the point of it is that he's good at multiple games. So people are like, well, you beat me at 7-card stud. Let's play something else. And then he would beat him at that. It's just he can't lose.
What year is this?
He went there. The run happened from 1992 to 1995.
So it's not like he's got Watson implanted. And
no, there's no AI. There's no computer. He's just good at what he does.
I don't believe that. That's a bunch of crap.
It's true. And so they're like, hey, you want to switch games to Raz? And he goes, okay. And he wins $700,000, okay? So after he takes them for over $1 million, they're like, well, we're done playing with this guy, right? Then another guy comes along named Chip Reese. Chip Reese, if you Google him, mm-hmm. there's a subtitle that comes up, quote, greatest cash game player of all time.
Oh.
Okay? He shows up and he's like, we're putting this guy out. We're done with him running Las Vegas, right? So, get ready. He agrees to a 25-game tournament.
Okay.
Okay? With our buddy Archie Karras, right?
Archie.
At the end of 25 games...
Are they playing Rez?
They are. It's R-A-Z-Z, by the way.
Oh, okay. I'll go to Z real quick. Hold on. Don't.
Calling our special effects crew to do some blue screen modification here.
There we go. Raz.
Not bad. I mean, I don't get the point, but it looks like a band logo from the 80s. Like, tonight, open it for Anthrax is Raz.
Hold on. Raz.
Gotcha.
It's like written on the side of a van.
Put it on the side of my van. So okay. Chip Reese comes in and he says, we're going to play 25 games, right? At the end of the 25 games, Archie has won another $2 million. From the greatest cash card player of all time.
Okay, so now, can I just go ahead and say my prediction? Uh-huh. He is a magician and not a poker player.
He is an amazing poker player. And he just is, honestly, he's good at cards.
I don't believe that.
He's good, and there. I mean, there's a reason this is the run, capital letters, is because this is the luckiest run in gambling history of all time.
I think he's probably got the card palming skills of Teller himself.
Nope. It is not a Penn and Teller trick. It is literally, he's good at poker. I mean, he's playing in Vegas. There's a dealer.
Okay. You know there's no such thing as luck, though, right?
There is, because we just did an episode about St. Patrick's Day, which if you didn't watch that episode, go back on YouTube and check out episode number 5 of the Kooky Tales podcast, in which Susan and I talked about St. Patrick's Day and St. Patrick.
And we drank green beer in glasses that didn't leak.
We did drink green beer. How was that for a nice plug? So here are two things you need to know about Archie Karras, okay? And we've kind of touched on him. But one is that he's pretty much good at any type of card game. He's good at all of them, right? So it's not just like he's only good at poker. He's good at seven card stud. He's good at Raz. He's good at all these different games, right? So the thing is that when people play him, they go, oh, well, let's switch to this game. And then he beats him more at that game.
So suspect, you guys.
He's got good at multiple types of card games, right? Mm-hmm. But the second thing, and that is the thing that I mentioned before, is that he starts becoming to be well-known, right? Now, being a well-known poker player is good and bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's bad because the guys that are really good and have a lot of money won't come play you anymore, mm-hmm. right? They go, we're not playing this dude. He takes us for all our money.
He's got the magic dust or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now in the days of facial recognition, the casinos are probably either, one, they don't want him, or two, they see his face and they're like, come in because you attract a crowd, right?
Could happen.
Yeah.
The good part, though, is that people always think, like, I could be the guy to take him down. Like, you're the guy on top, right? So I, like, you become a target. Right, yeah. which can be good, right? Now, here's the thing about Archie. One of the ways that he won this is because, again, because the money doesn't matter to him so much, he liked playing high-stakes poker. For example, you remember we've watched, like, Texas Hold'em, where you have to bet, you know, half, and then you have to bet the whole, you know, so, mm-hmm. and you put it on the blind, and then it doubles, all that, right? So it's a low high, right? So, like, when we used to have the Nasty Pirates over, and we would play cards, it would be a nickel ante. So you put in a nickel, but then everybody else has to put in a dime, mm-hmm. right? And then you want to play, put the other nickel in if you want to keep playing, right? Okay. He would set limits of $8,000, $16,000. So it's, you start out, you put in $8,000, and then everybody else would have to put in $16,000 just to see the flop or something. It's an amazing amount of money, right? So again, the good side of this is that it brought in other high rollers, right? Like, yeah. Like if you're playing $6,000 or $16,000 just to get in, I mean, you got to have a lot of money, which means ultimately he could win a lot of money. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, yeah.
Okay, so at this point, he has been in Vegas for 6 months.
Oh.
We're only 6 months into this story.
Get out.
At the end of 6 months, he has earned $17 million.
Wow.
Okay. Now, this is where part of his problem begins, is because at this point, no one will play him.
Oh, hell no.
The people that, anybody that could afford to play him knows well enough not to play him. They won't play, right? And anybody that, those people that were like, I'm going to challenge this guy and try to take his money away, they can't afford to buy in anymore.
Right. And no one's sus of what's going on here.
There is no sus. I mean, it is pure and simple. It is the luckiest streak of all time that's ever happened. I mean, if you're drawing something right now, here's what I would draw. Like, if I were drawing on this show, which I don't, this is what I would draw. A guy at a poker table with a pile of chips and money in front of him, all by himself, because that's what he looked like at the horseshoe. I mean, he got to a point where it dried up, right? I'm going to wait till you finish this drawing before I move on, because
nobody wants to play whatever his name is, Carhart or whatever.
Karras.
Karras.
K-A-R-A-S. Okay, this is a bad show.
So bad show.
Get to the drawing.
I know. We really should put a camera on the drawing.
And then put it?
The actual drawing.
We could do that.
There's a light. There we go.
I mean, we can't run four cameras, but we could do...
Look at him. Okay, so he does look like the guy from The Office, the guy with the Friar Tuck haircut again.
Uh-huh.
I just prefer that for
Kevin?
Him. Kevin. He looks like Kevin.
Yeah.
And he's like this. He's like, no one will play me. You know how Kevin talks.
Uh-huh. For the record... Not Kevin.
Show it one more time.
Oh, you're drawing.
Yeah. Don't you think that no one will play me? He looks like Kevin.
No one will play me.
He always sticks his bottom jaw out when he talks. He's like,
well, I
can't understand.
Have you ever seen that guy, the actor that plays him? He's nothing like that. He's a really funny guy.
Yeah, that's weird.
So here's the problem. He's at a point where poker's dried up for him. So what does he do? And I'll let you predict right now if this is a good idea or a bad idea.
He's going to go to the slots.
No.
Race horsing.
No.
What else can you do? I don't know.
You can play craps.
Oh, no.
Is this a good idea or a bad idea?
He left the high.
Right. Your prediction real quick?
The end of the run.
And he's going to craps with $17 million.
Oh, boy. He better sock some money away and pay for a house.
Okay. He goes to the craps table. And he starts putting down $100,000 a roll. $100,000 a roll.
There's no skill in craps. It's all to the house advantage.
By the way, on the... I'm not an expert on craps. I know you've played a little bit of craps. They have the line, the something line, and come bets. Okay. On those, he's betting $300,000.
What is the matter with that?
Per bet.
Oh.
Right? Okay. Here's the problem. He starts winning.
What?
Yes. And
what?
Binion, Mr. Binion of the Horseshoe, comes down and basically limits his bets. Because he's betting $300,000, which I do know enough about craps. He's betting $300,000 on the 4 and the 10. And the owner of the Horseshoe comes down and says, you're limited to $100,000 bets. Because... he's just in the middle of the world's luckiest streak of all time.
It's just not possible.
You can't cheat at craps, right? And so the thing is, here's a quote from Karis, from Archie.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I like dice because I could win $3 million just like that, but it would take me days or weeks to win that much playing poker. So he would literally go down to the craps table and win $3 million.
How the heck? And he's wiping out the, I mean, you know.
Right. I mean, the Horseshoe is already limiting his bets, right?
All right. So hold on. This is my interpretation. So see that guy on the right with the suit? He's got a horseshoe for his head. That's Mr. Binion.
Oh, that's how it got its name, is he had a horseshoe head.
He had a horseshoe head. And then there's poor Archie with no legs. And he says, no more bets. Have you ever known anybody with the horseshoe head? Wilbur.
I have not.
Okay.
So, now he's up to, like, $20 million, okay? Ugh. And just want to touch on something that you mentioned before. At this point, he's carrying a gun with him at all times because he's carrying around $20 million in cash wherever he goes. He hires his brother to act as a bodyguard, and whenever he gets to a casino, he has the casino guards come out and escort him in, right? Because, I mean, he's carrying around so much money. Now, I want to give you, just to put all of this in perspective, I want to put this in perspective of him at the Horseshoe. I want you to talk about, very quickly, the denominations of poker chips you have seen while playing blackjack.
$5.
Mm-hmm.
Probably $25.
Yeah.
Maybe 10. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's probably 100, and there may even
be... We've seen ones.
Ones, obviously. There may even be a $100 or a $1,000 chip. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know that I've seen a $1,000 chip.
Right.
But I've definitely seen the ones.
Yes. The Horseshoe has $5,000 chips, and at one point, Karis has them all. He has every $5,000 chip that the Horseshoe has. He He has all the chips, all the $5,000 chips. You know when you cash out and you see it in the movies where they have like a safety deposit box and you put your chips in there for when you come back the next time or whatever?
Yeah.
He has all the $5,000 chips that the horseshoe owns in his box. All of them.
This is so...
All of, like if you're writing it, all period of period them period. All of them.
Right.
Do it's I stress just that enough?
Unfathomable.
It is unfathomable. Right.
Okay.
So
I don't even know what to draw.
Here's the thing. Now that he started playing craps and dice, you remember he was at 17 million, then he won, he got up to 20 million.
And then they said no more big bets.
And then he went to craps.
Mm-hmm.
He's at $40 million. And this is basically the last towards the end of 1994.
Wow.
He arrived there in 1992. It's 1994, and he has turned $50 into $40 million.
Okay, just hold on.
Mm-hmm.
GTFO, Mr. Karras. Stop while you're
ahead. You got to go. You got to take the money, right?
Oh, I'm just puckering up waiting for the end of this, because you know it's not going to end. He's going to be in the desert buried somewhere.
But again, here's the problem. By the way, he's still alive. He's still alive. He's okay.
Is he working at the McDonald's?
Archie's all right. He's unemployed. He's self-employed, let's say. Here's the problem. What's the end game? I mentioned this before. There's no end game. There's no goal where he says, I'm going to... Like you and I, if we went, hey, we're going to Vegas next week, and if we got $1 million, that's it. We'll retire, or we'll stop. If we ever hit $1 million, like when we go to our local casino, we say if we'll double up, we take $100. If we double up, we're out of there, right?
So out.
$200, we quit.
That guy who's sitting at the, whatever, the bingo or whatever that thing is when he's 90 years old and dies.
Right.
You know, the money, that guy.
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
I don't know. but that's the thing. He's at $40 million, right? And this is basically, if you were to figure it all out, it's about a period of 3 years. Okay.
Okay.
So, here's the problem. Again, it's not about the money for him. He just likes gambling, right? So, he actually took a break at some point. I don't know if this happens before that or not. I think this is actually after this. We're not to the break yet. He starts playing craps all of a sudden, and he starts losing. Then he starts raising his bets to make back like we always do.
Don't ever try and gain your loss.
Where you got to double down, losses. Right?
Yeah, nope.
Over a very short period of time, and I don't even think we're talking weeks. I think we're taking days, okay? He loses $11 million.
Okay, I told you.
Mm-hmm. So then he says, I got to go back to what was working, right? So he calls Chip Reese. You remember Chip Reese?
Yeah.
The world's greatest cash card player of all time. He says, Chip, I want you to come play me at cards. Chip shows up. Chip takes him for $2 million. He immediately loses another $2 million, okay?
Heck.
So you can feel at this point in the run that Archie starts feeling desperate, mm-hmm. right? And so he makes a really bad mistake. And this is a mistake that a lot of gamblers make. He says, this isn't working. I'm going to switch games. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so he moves to Baccarat.
Which we've never heard mentioned so far in this entire story.
He's not known as a Baccarat player. He's not a Baccarat guy. I don't even know how to play Baccarat. I've definitely seen it at the tables and I walk by. It makes me think of something. Is there a candy called Baccarat?
No, but there's that old like singer Burt Bacharach who sang right. You know, whatever Tom Jones songs.
Yeah,
whatever. It's not a. Oh, I can't say it.
Sorry. So here's the thing, he says I'm gonna go to Bacharach, right? But what happens? He loses some money. How much does he lose at Bacharach?
$11 million.
$17 million.
Oh, so now
he's down to 12.
I was gonna say he's lost 11. He's lost 2. He's lost 17. It's not good.
He's down to $12 million. Which, by the way, some of us would say he's still up $12 million.
I would still retire.
You walk away, right? Walk away. So at this point, he takes a break. I think he goes back to Greece for a few months. He goes and sees his family. By the way, he is a married man. His family's still in Greece, but he's in Vegas doing his thing, right?
I hope he leaves some money for the family. Jeez.
I hope he does, too. So he takes a little break, and then he comes back, and he goes, you know, where did all this start? At the horseshoe. I'm going to the horseshoe. and he starts playing Baccarat. And by the way, Baccarat, I mean, this is a card game, right? He says, I'd like to play Baccarat for $300,000 a hand. I mean, this is no kidding. We would never play anything for 300,000 pennies a hand. Maybe 300,000 pesos a hand? I don't know what that equates to.
That would be, right?
Right.
So he's not doing well, though.
No.
He is clearly addicted.
I don't want to carry 300,000 grains of rice. I don't want to carry anything that's 300,000 of anything.
So let's just take a look here. Here is a bar chart. No, this is not a bar chart. This is a line chart.
Yeah.
How he did. It went up, 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 up. And then he went to craps.
Yeah. And I probably stair-stepped up a little bit, too, right. as well. But, yeah. But
now he's at the horseshoe, and I just went ahead and put the trajectory down.
I mean, you might put a horseshoe hitting him in the head.
Oh.
Okay. So he at this background table, he's like, this is where I got to win it back at, $300,000 a hand. Mm-hmm. And by the end of this run, he has lost everything except his last $1 million. He's down to $1 million.
Time to stop.
Now, for most people, I mean, that's enough. You could walk away, right? You know who doesn't walk away?
Mr. Karras.
Archie Karras. So Archie Karras, who does he look up? Johnny Chan. Johnny Chan, you would definitely recognize. He's an Asian-American man. He has little round glasses that are sunglasses. We've seen him on World Series of Poker.
I know who you're talking
about. And you've seen him on World Series of Poker because he has won it 10 times. Okay,
yeah.
This guy's not a chump.
Yeah.
Okay, Archie calls him up and he says, we're setting up a $1 million game. Okay, he says, we're both put in $1 million and we play it. At the end of this game, Archie wins and doubles up and he gets $2 million. He's back on the train, baby. And so you know what he does? He goes back to the craps table and to Baccarat and loses everything.
What an idiot.
It's gone. This is the run. All of it is documented. Archie Karras showed up in 1992 to Las Vegas, $50 in his hand. He took it to $40 million. And in a period of 3 years, he lost it all.
So after you've lost your last bit of money, do you get comped one last night in the room, or are they just like, bye?
I mean, I'm sure he made a lot of friends, but he probably almost definitely made a lot of enemies, which we will talk about now.
Of course. He is lucky he didn't end up buried in the desert.
Now, that story is the run, but that's not really the end of Archie Karras, because he had other multiple small runs, if you recall that, right?
Yeah.
He, a year later, he goes back and he won $40,000 at the Desert Inn, which is a small casino. And then he turned that into $1 million. And so what does he do? He goes right to the horseshoe. What happens to the $1
million? Wah, 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 wah.
That's right. He turns it into $4
million. Oh.
And then the next day, so he's at $5 million. He takes it to the craps table and loses $5 million.
And Archie Karras can now be found living underneath the Paradise Street Bridge.
I mean, he has, as far as I know, no money.
In Vegas.
Yeah. But that's the way the guy is.
Yeah.
I mean, he went from nothing. He got some money. He turns it over a weekend into $5 million. But then it's gone. $5 million is not enough. Right. Nothing's ever enough, right? Because it's not about the money. It's about the gambling.
He can,
right?
Now be found on the IHOP on the Las Vegas Boulevard serving freshly made pancakes.
I would be careful about insulting casino and gamblers who may have ties that we don't know.
Much respect to you, Mr. Karras.
Absolutely.
I'm very sorry for your loss.
Right. Now, in the Wikipedia article about Archie Karras, the following is not mentioned. However, there have been other articles about him that do throw in a couple of facts that the Wikipedia article does not mention, which one of which is that Archie Karras was arrested during this period of time 5 times for cheating and marking cards.
I told you.
Now, that's not officially part of the story of, quote, the run. But it is a fact.
It's part of the story. So what do they do when you have $20 million cash and you've been booked in the Las Vegas jail? Do they give it back to you?
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe they impound your car and then you go get it and there's a briefcase in the trunk with $20 million cash. Uh-huh. Probably his brother would have taken the car or something like that, right?
I don't know. Marked cards. I told you guys.
Yeah. Now, this is in the story about the runner in his Wikipedia article is that he was arrested. Now, this is not during part of the run. This is in 2013. He was arrested after being caught marking cards in a San Diego casino. He was at the blackjack table. You know what marking cards means? Like, basically, like, let's say you got an ace or two aces, right? Mm-hmm. So what you would do is maybe fold the tip of the ace, right? That's all you got to do is just mark the card physically in some way, and you put it back in rotation. So at some point, that card may show up at the dealer's side, and when you recognize it, how it's been modified, and you go, that guy's holding an ace, okay? That's marking cards.
So it's not like you... brought your own card and you hit it.
No.
It's like, okay, so here's my example. Well, sorry. Here's my example of marking cards. So if you can see here, this is, he just folded the tiny little corner right there. Mm-hmm. Or like this one, maybe he scratched it with his fingernail here, this way. Yeah. Scratched it with his fingernail and put like a tiny little.
But you have to scratch the back of it.
Right. But I.
Because if you can see the front, you don't need to mark it.
I put the aces on there just for so you know.
Gotcha. Yes. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So he goes back to Las Vegas, and the gaming commission shows up, and basically he's arrested in Las Vegas. He's extradited to San Diego to face charges of burglary, winning by fraudulent means, and cheating. He was found guilty and sentenced to 3 years probation. Okay, it did say that he spent like 70-something days in jail.
So probation doesn't mean he can't gamble during that time?
It doesn't, but you know what does? In 2015, he was added to, all capitals, the Black Book, which ends his Vegas career.
Right. They will see him immediately and send him right on out.
Send him out. He's no longer welcome in any Vegas casino. He still lives in Las Vegas, but he's no longer welcome in any Las Vegas casino.
I wonder if he tries to sneak in from time to time. And if they, I mean, they know from the, you know, the pupillary distance between your eyes. They can tell from
looking. I mean, I'm sure they have some sort of, I mean, we know that they have great camera security systems probably. In Las Vegas, but I'm sure the people are trained to also keep an eye out for him, right?
Right. Oh.
So, I mean, that is literally the end of his gambling career in 2015, right?
Right. So I wonder what he does for a living now, if anything.
It doesn't say. It doesn't say what he's up to now. He's in his 70s. I mean, he was born in 1950, you know, so.
He probably plays high stakes game of like. Life and Monopoly and stuff with his grandkids.
I bet you he bets on everything. Mm-hmm. I bet you he's the type of guy where he's like, you know, I mean, literally go get a bottle of Coke with him and he'll flip the lid. I bet you $1 it lands, you know, on the bottom.
He's just got it in his blood, right? So here he is. This is what he really looks like now wearing his little jacket.
Now he's probably bald. Here, hold on.
Hands in the pocket. Also, the top of his head was removed by a meteor.
Also, you know what's not on here? $40
million. $40 million. No, see, he's got his hands in his pockets, and he's just like,
"Yep,
no, what do I do?"
So that's the run. Awesome. That is the run. We will not, we'll be in Vegas next week. We will not experience anything like the run.
I am so glad you did this story today, because it makes me want to just go drain the bank account.
I bet it does. Like a maniac. And so I want to end this episode on two things. And the first one I want to say is that there has been a news. I looked up some different things about gambling in there, and this is in all seriousness, that they have shown since the beginning of COVID, there has been a 30% spike of calls to gambling helplines. And most of those have been from younger people in their 20s and 30s. So they think because of COVID and the lockdown, a lot of people are going to casinos and maybe gambling addictions are up. So I did want to mention that you can go to Gamblers Anonymous at gamblersanonymous.org. In the United States, you can call the National Council of Problem Gambling at 1-800-GAMBLER, or you can send a text to 800-GAM. So if you feel like maybe you're wanting to, you get your paycheck and you're like, I could double what I'm making right now. I could double down and go to the casino. If you feel like you have a problem, you know, Susan and I go to the casino quite a bit, but we always set aside, you know, like this is how much we're going to spend. This is what we can afford to lose. It's entertainment for us.
It's what we would have spent on a night out elsewhere.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, and so legal or not legal, but responsible gambling, you know, there's no problem with that. Right. But if you feel like you have a problem, go check out gamblersanonymous.org.
Right.
You know, and you can
lots find of out other that's ways right. to get that dopamine drop.
Absolutely.
Right.
I will mention here at the end that thanks for watching Kooky Tales Podcast. You can find Kooky Tales Podcast here on YouTube. You can find us on Instagram, where I'll be posting some things about poker this week. And you can email us if you've got thoughts about the show. Send us an email at KookyTalesPodcast@gmail.com. The email has been showing up down here at the bottom of the show. Let us know what you thought about this episode. Let us know what you thought about other episodes. And if you have ideas for future episodes, you can let us know. You can find all my links at robohara.com/links. That will get you links to all my stuff. You got a place where people can find your stuff?
Right. So I still run legslikemine.com. It's my main thing that I do. It's for ladies who have my leg condition called lipedema, and I am on there every single day. Also, Archie, wherever you are, drop us a line and let us know how you're doing.
Send us a message. I'm not going to play you in poker, and I'm not going to loan you $5, but if you send me an email...
I would love to hear from
you. We'd love to hear from you. Hope you're doing okay. So,
I
think that's it.
Yeah.
We're going to be in Vegas. Hopefully I come back with $40 million.
We're going to go learn about artificial intelligence. We're going to go meet the robots at the Sphere, which is going to be super fun. And we're going to go visit Kevin Mitnick's grave.
Be a good time. Oh, yeah, Kevin Mitnick's grave. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I found it.
All right.
All right.
See you guys the next week.
Bye, everybody. Poor Archie.
Double up. Double down.
Double down.
Double down. Why does that sound like a turkey? Double gobble. You didn't do the turkey then. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Weren't you supposed to do like that?